With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Roadshow. Here's Paul Gallant.
So I went to the bathroom and I came back. I hear the music playing, and multiple times I tried to bring it back.
You scared me, Paul. Like, there was something that, like, told me to, like, ask, like, how much time is left in the break? Because you went to the bathroom, and the next thing you know, you hear the legal ID. I'm like, no.
The good thing is I have a tiny little bladder. So I was able to evacuate everything quickly and then get back here. But there were multiple times I hear the music and I say, it's a Pogolasso. And Sean's like, no, you're not on. And then I say it again and I could tell I'm still not on. So third time's the charm. Hi, everybody. Hello, friends. It is the Paul Gallant Show. We are live at East River 9. And guess what, guys? It's fun here. We're here all day until 7 p.m. It's a nice day to golf. It is. I know. Ooh, it's cloudy. Honestly, this is better than most Houston days to golf, I would argue. But this is also your place to watch the Masters this weekend. The restaurant that we are in right now is called The River House. It is open for lunch and dinner. It's like a neighborhood restaurant, the patio bar, and you can see Houston's downtown skyline. In the evening, there's live music, there's an outdoor terrace, a kid's playscape, outdoor games, a fire pit. Like, there's these giant dice, a giant Connect Four. And of course, if you want to golf, you can golf here. It's a 9-hole par 3 golf course, and you got hole-in-one challenges all weekend long. So how about that? You can get a Sunday golf bag and a 30-day membership if you hit a hole-in-one. But I'm here for the chicken sandwich. It's the best chicken sandwich I've ever had. I'm not kidding on that front. It is by far the best. I need to get one right now. Hey, guys, we're 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, and we've been, for the most part, not talking about the NFL draft for you. Because draft talk is stupid. It's not entertaining. It's not good. It's all speculation, and I'll be honest, pass, hard pass on it. But it's getting closer and closer. And eventually, the gravity of this is going to pull me in. The Texans are picking number 2 overall. So we do have some tea leaves to get through with the Houston Texans, right? I mean, we want to know what they're going to do. But we've seen a couple of different things out there. Here's the problem right now that I'm having. I'm just going to share with the class. And it's not because I've been looking at porn. It's not. But my computer is really slow all of a sudden. No, I use an iPad for that. It's fine. Anyway, the Texans did meet with a top 10 projected non-quarterback yesterday. Texas Tech edge rusher Tyree Wilson. He's on a top 30 visit with the Bears today. He was with the Texans on Tuesday, I believe. And people are starting to freak out because Lance Zierlein did have that mock draft where he had the Texans taking Tyree Wilson, second overall. I'm willing to go out on a ledge here. To have a bold take leading up to the draft. I would like the Houston Texans to select Bryce Young. And I'm officially saying that now. I'm officially saying it. Why? Because of the things that we're hearing. Daniel Jeremiah said something that we heard from Lance a week and a half ago on the bench talking about the NFL draft. There's a test that they give to players and baseball and football and other sports, and Bryce Young aced it this year. Here's Daniel Jeremiah on the Around the NFL podcast.
There's a thing, I don't know if you guys have read up on the S2 test. Have you guys done any work on this? So it's a processing test that are now being given to especially quarterbacks. It's been big in baseball. So it'll be like, you know, six shapes pop up and one's different. How quick can you identify the one that's different? It's how quick you can process information. Mm. If you think about for baseball, pitch recognition and all that stuff, like it's a very valuable tool, and it's made its way over to the football the last 5 or 6 years. Josh Allen was off the charts on it. Mahomes tested off the charts on it. Last year in the entire quarterback class, Brock Purdy had the highest number, had the highest grade on that. This year it's Bryce Young. So processing information.
Is this public info?
No, but that
but
part
you just
is.
Gave now, it. So. But,
I like hearing that. And I know he's small, and my big concern is that behind that bad offensive line on the interior that the Texans have right now, that he might end up just getting bundled and, like, broken in half. But to give another reason as to why I would like the Houston Texans to draft Bryce Young, why I officially want them to get that, it sounds like D'Amico Ryans isn't heightsist against all you short kings out there. Here's my buddy James Palmer of the NFL Network talking about D'Amico Ryans' thoughts on Bryce Young.
That's the biggest thing that stands out to D'Amico Ryans and Bryce Young is that in critical moments, he is so calm and collected. And he has been more outspoken about his size not bothering him in any stretch, as opposed to we listen to everything Frank Reich has said publicly. Steve has been more of a more calculated approach, weighing every option, the pros and cons of all of it. And D'Amico Ryans has said it repeatedly that when you watch the tape with Bryce Young, it is you see the arm strength, you see the accuracy, you see the anticipation, you see the smarts. That's what he sees. He doesn't see the height in that sense.
Height's not an issue for D'Amico Ryans. Good. Good. It does seem like that's the case with Frank Reich. It really does. This is an annoying time of year. I think there's a lot of people that have access to some information. I don't think they have access to all information. And that little tidbit that they might get from a person they talk to, they'll share it, but you have to wonder why that tidbit was given to them and how high up the totem pole, how much of a security clearance does this person that's giving these NFL media insiders who are essentially information traders, you got to wonder like what this person is actually giving this info for. I saw this from Peter King yesterday, and I don't know. I'm not a Peter King fan. I think he's very full of himself. The Texans also picked 12th, he wrote in Football Morning in America. I mean, think about that. That's the name of his column. Calm down, dude. With that pick and two first-round picks next year, is it impossible to think they'd take the cleanest prospect in this draft, Alabama pass rusher Will Anderson at 2, and get their quarterback slightly lower, somewhere around the fourth pick or after? I got to say, the odds of the Texans, and I would base this off of my time following the New England Patriots, the odds of the Texans going after an edge rusher with that second overall pick would go 100% against 20 years of history in New England. They obviously had their own scheme under Bill Belichick, but edge rushers just seems like a very unlikely route for the Houston Texans with a Patriots guy running the show to go. I don't know, though. Maybe Peter King doesn't remember the history of the New England Patriots over the past two decades. That's just me. Continued King. I think the Texans are going to go quarterback at 2. But in the last few days, I've heard this about Houston GM Nick Caserio. Very conservative. If he doesn't love a quarterback at 2, he's not going to force it. He'd rather take this year's sure edge thing, Anderson, the way Detroit took Aiden Hutchinson with the second pick last year. Detroit got rewarded handsomely with a great rookie year from Aiden Hutchinson. Okay, maybe, but I just don't buy that Nick Caserio's talking to anybody. So there is perhaps a thought that Caserio is conservative, and it's entirely based off of the fact that he was with New England, and New England generally is conservative when it goes to going after edge rushers. Obviously, it's a little bit different with quarterbacks, but I don't think Peter King actually has a feel for what Nick Caserio is doing at all. I don't. I barely think anyone in Houston has a feel for what Nick Caserio is doing. I don't think McLean's on top of it anymore. I don't think that Brooks Kibina is necessarily on top of it. I think that Nick Caserio is legitimately keeping everything close to the vest. And you've kind of seen from D'Amico Ryans as well a lot of the same things. So I think when it comes to what the Texans do with that second overall pick, I suppose there are alternatives, but I think that what they want to do is to get Bryce Young based off of what is out there, and I'm cool with that. But I'm not going to freak out if they draft another quarterback. It would be interesting to see what happens if Bryce Young is off the board. Per Chris Mortensen of ESPN, that's actually a possibility. Here is Chris Mortensen, I believe, on NFL Live.
Phil, what I'm hearing is that both Mel and Todd are going to have to change their mock drafts.
Ooh.
And that Bryce Young is the pick. And yes, Frank Wright, connecting Frank Wright to C.J. Stroud in terms of the prototype of guy that he has worked with in the past. But they all love Bryce Young. I think I'll quote Adam Schefter, who said, this reminds him of when the 49ers moved up all the way to 3, and it was intentional to draft Mac Jones, and then change their mind at the last minute and drafted Trey Lance. And that has not worked out for the 49ers. And I think the Panthers are on Bryce Young at the start and will stick with him when it's time to turn in that card.
I do wonder how connected Chris Mortensen still is. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of hard seeing him and watching him. If I'm not mistaken, he just beat a serious illness not too long ago. So I hope he's doing okay. He doesn't sound 100%, that's for sure. I'm also someone who's kind of been skeptical of a lot of Chris Mortensen reports ever since the Deflategate BS that happened a couple of years ago, which he never corrected. I don't know that that's the case. It doesn't really feel like Carolina's that in on Bryce Young. It really does feel like C.J. Stroud's the guy based off of the tea leaves we have. And again, so much speculation, so much information, I guess you could call it misinformation, disinformation out there. It's annoying. I'm tired of it, but what I am willing to say is I am endorsing the Houston Texans drafting Bryce Young. I will take that bold step out on a ledge. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are at East River 9 in the River House. Fantastic restaurant. Watching the Masters. Coming up next on this fine radio program of ours. Okay. The Houston Astros got back in the win column. Does it matter? And another thing. This is just for guys in general. What are things that you should never brag about? Because a Texas man found that out the hard way. We'll talk about that story too. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the Paul Galacho on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from East River 9 for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Paul Gallant.
You could argue that the Astros offense learned to fly yesterday afternoon. Am I right? Slugging percentage trending up. 3 homers, 4 doubles, an 8-2 win over the Detroit Tigers. But it doesn't matter because it's early, guys. They're not fine. Nothing matters until May, and then it won't matter until June, and then it won't matter until July. But if you have some thoughts on that, the really only thought that I have, and I don't see how anyone can argue against this, Chaz McCormick should be playing every single day, or close to every single day. There is nothing that Jake Meyers can do that makes me feel like he is worthy of any playing time. I don't understand it. Mauricio Dubon at second base. If he was getting time over Chaz McCormick, I would be saying the exact same thing. I just don't get it. McCormick has a little bit of pop to him. He's a capable fielder. This lineup, I think, needs a little bit more juice. And every single game that they don't have Jose Altuve, if you're putting Myers out there and Dubon's out there too, and you got Maldonado with his issues at the plate from time to time, you're not helping yourself out. Anyway, you don't need to have a murderer's row 1 through 9, but let's have guys who aren't killing us, huh? I mean, that's what Myers does every time he's out there. And that also is what Dubon is. But whatever, Dubon's a backup. Myers is a backup. I don't want it to sound like I don't think these guys should be major league players. I just don't want to see him as much as I see him. We see them too much. That's it. That simple. All right, guys. there are many things in life you shouldn't brag about. I asked this question on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. E315 says, don't brag about your Ramalama-ding-dong size. Don't brag about your friends, right? I would say don't brag about your salary. Name droppers are the worst. If you're bragging about your friends, like, yeah, you know, I know this guy. Like, do you, though? Do you? Being humble is nice. I know from time to time on the air I'm a cocky son of a gun, but in real life, if you meet me, you'd find it like I get embarrassed when anyone even brings up that like I work on the radio. I get embarrassed because I'm like, oh. And my friends do this all the time to drive me crazy. They're like, hey, do you know he's a local celebrity? And I'm like, oh, my God, stop. Please stop. I'm not. No one knows who I am. No one cares. It's fine. I've accepted that. It's a fun job. Occasionally someone will be like, oh, it's Pauly G. That makes my day. But no. Don't brag about knowing me. No one's going to care, right? There are a lot of things you shouldn't boast about. But this man, I think, has won forever. A man was kidnapped by a Mexican drug cartel from his house in Texas 2 hours after bragging about stealing $50,000 from them. I got to say, props to the cartel. 2 hour response time. That is impressive. Eric Ramirez from Laredo, Texas, was allegedly kidnapped by members of the cartel del Noreste, a powerful criminal organization, and taken to Mexico, where he is still missing. The kidnapping happened a few minutes after midnight, March 24th, when a group of men allegedly belonging to the cartel del Noreste arrived at his house in a blue pickup truck in the Texas border city of Laredo. Another reason to not visit the border. The men, all wearing masks and carrying guns, stormed the house and grabbed Ramirez. From there, they went to the port of entry, crossed the border into Nuevo Laredo, Mexico. Before crossing, Ramirez tried to escape, but was unsuccessful, according to the formal complaint. Why would you brag about even knowing someone in the cartel, let alone stealing any amount of money from them? You could brag about stealing $1 from them. It's about the principle. They are not to be trifled with. You know, I think back to a time where I was at the second floor bar of the former bar known as Gas Lamp, which is renowned for being like the racist bar in Houston that wouldn't let in anyone of color because of dress code, even with people were dressed better than me. It was like very blatant. They were sued for this. There's a second floor of this place called Elysium. And I get very annoyed when people think that there is a line in a bar. I go to the bar. I get my drink. Usually I smile at the bartender, and because I'm so handsome and charming, I'm able to get a drink a little bit more quickly than other people. Them's the rules, them's the breaks. It's fine, right? Anyway, I'm getting to the cartel story in a moment. I'm at this bar at Elysium, and there's literally no one else at the bar. And this guy's there with two women. And he says, hey, man, do you mind if I go in front of you with my two ladies? And I'm like, well, it's a bar, so you can go literally anywhere. But second, no, you can't. You're fine. So I think that this is just a one-moment thing and that I'm not going to be thinking about it a little bit later. 20 minutes later, two large men approached me and said, do you know who that was? And I was like, no, and I don't care. And they said, like, well, that's a very important man, and you should apologize to him. And I'm like, wait, why? It's a bar. The whole bar was empty except for me and him and his two women. And he said, look, we're not going to tell you who he is. Just know that you're lucky that we haven't beaten you up right now. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I just didn't say anything the rest of the night. And I'm guessing that was a cartel guy. Just a wild guess. Maybe it was a Russian mafia guy. I don't know. All I know is that happened. And I was like, okay. But I did not apologize. Because I felt like at that point, I was like, the message received. I think he saw my face turn white when those guys came up to me and talked to me. But it was so stupid. Like, just go to the bar, you loser. But don't kill me also. Don't kill me. I know, statute of limitations, right? Statute of limitations of offending a Don. or a, what do they call him in Russia? Tsar? I don't know. I don't know. But what else should you not brag about? Because there's a lot of things that you shouldn't brag about in life. Specifically stealing money from the cartel. Like, that's at the top of the list. I would say probably don't brag about tax fraud. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you brag about tax fraud, somebody's probably going to get you at some point in time. Right? You don't want to do that. Other things that you shouldn't brag about. We mentioned friends that are famous. You probably shouldn't brag about your car. You can. You can talk about your car in glowing terms. But I don't think you should brag about your car. Especially if you have like a, no offense, like a Ford Mustang or a Dodge Challenger. We get it. Vroom, vroom, vroom. You go fast. But that's as much as you could afford as a car that goes fast. Which is, again, it's more than I could afford. Not hating. I'm just saying. Like, flexing about a car like that, it just looks cool. You know it looks cool. I know it looks cool. But it's not really a flex. You could do better. Someone asks, HRW_S1W, was he from Philly? No. Philadelphians have pulled a switchblade on me before, but I wasn't bragging that day. I wasn't bragging. RJ's eyes are widening. It was a Syracuse-Penn State game. One of my buddies was making out with a random girl that had been making out with another guy literally minutes before. The man, wearing a Penn State jersey, said, sloppy seconds, and we were all like, who cares, go bleep yourself. He came over to us, and he pulled out a switchblade and said, I'm from Philly. End story. And we all just laughed and walked away. Because there were a lot of us, but honestly, I don't think any of us wanted to find out. I don't think any of us wanted to find that out. So there you go. But don't brag, guys, about stealing from the cartel, okay? This happened here in Texas. Honestly, I would just pretend it doesn't exist. Although I've started reading a book about the cartel. I believe the book is called Narcos? I don't think it's what's been, the title might be a little bit longer. It's written by a guy who's got like three vowels to start his first name. Like Ion, like I-O-A-N, like Garelo or something like that. But he's English, so explain that to me. But it's about like the history of the cartel and its relationship on the border with the United States and stuff. It's fascinating, but let's pretend that we're not stealing money from them, okay? I'm not stealing money from them. I would never. I would never cartel. I never would. And that guy never should have. I hope he's okay. That is terrifying. Getting kidnapped in Mexico, you're probably just bleeped. Anyway, Paul Galancho, really dark show. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Hey, the Astros. Is the offense fixed? Why isn't Chaz McCormick playing every single day? Some of you try to role play as Dusty Baker. Please explain why Jake Meyers plays as much as he does. Also, if I was always saying this about James Harden, I must be consistent when it comes to this other basketball player. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from East River 9 for the Masters. Stick around.
You locked in with the Paul Galancho on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from East River 9 for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Paul Gallant.
Look, it's not sunny outside, but today's, I think, a good day to play golf. I don't get how all you psychopaths get up early to go play at 7 a.m. to avoid the heat. This is actually nice weather. It's not raining, right? It's maybe a little bit. Looks like it might rain, but no, this is the kind of weather to go golfing. You can pretend you're in foggy London town. What? But we're at East River 9. The chicken sandwiches here are dope. You want to come out here and hang with us. It's a good place to watch the Masters, too. There's televisions everywhere. And it's just a cool place, man. It really is. Great view of the skyline of downtown Houston. You like views like that. This is probably the best view of the downtown Houston in the city. And I don't think that's arguable. But we're going to be here. I love it whenever we come out here to East River 9. Also, shout out to the people that came to the roast that I was at last night, which I participated in. Did stand-up comedy for the first time. I've always wanted to do it. So shout out to a couple of guys who helped set it up. Barry Laminack, who set the whole thing up. I know an alum of ESPN 97.5, John Wessling, who recommended Me too, Barry. I had a blast. I'm told I wasn't terrible. I'll have video at some point. I don't know if I should post it because I don't want to get fired. But it was fun. I had a really good time doing it. Anyway, if I'm going to be consistent with just takes athlete to athlete, I have to say about Luka Doncic what I've always said about James Harden. Luka Doncic had this to say about his defensive play. The Mavericks are a train wreck on defense. They are so bad. But Luka's a big part of it. And his Mavericks are like sort of almost within range for the play-in game, which is a shame, seeing as they traded for Kyrie Irving at the trade deadline. They've been going back and forth, thinking about whether or not they're going to have Doncic and Irving active for the end of the year. But Doncic was asked about his terrible defense. I've been playing basketball for 3 straight years. 4 weeks in between it was free. Sometimes it's really hard for me to play really hard on both ends. But obviously, the defensive end, I got to be way better. I said this about Harden all the time, because there were a lot of stands that would simp for him and say, look, Harden's putting so much effort in on the offensive end, he's not going to put in effort on the defensive end. I would argue against them. Well, Harden literally just stands there until the shot clock almost expires before he decides to either pass it to somebody or take a shot. That's not a very high-intensity workload, and then he's doing nothing on the defensive end. But his post-defense, Paul, the 2 possessions a game that he doesn't get back down because he's a fatty boom batty. The thing with Harden that always prevented him, in my opinion, from being even something resembling a two-way player is that he has never been in the best shape he could be in. And I'll make that same argument for Luka Doncic. I get it. You're focused on offense. You're really good at offense. Imagine if you were in better shape. And maybe it hurts your post game or something like that. But if you're Luka and you're in a little bit better shape, imagine all of the other things that you would be able to do over the course of a long 82-game season. And they're not asking you to play defense every possession. They're just asking you to give effort defensively from time to time in a game. You know what would help you with that? Getting in better shape. That simple. So I've said it a million times about James Harden. I'll say it about Luka Doncic. This is a pretty easy fix, in my opinion. You're a basketball player. Your job should be to play basketball, and the best way to play basketball well is to be in shape. Who would have thought? What a novel concept. It's not the 1970s or 1980s anymore, where these guys are working at grocery stores during the offseason and chain-smoking in between practice. That's not happening anymore. Like, there's a high standard that we have to meet. Is it really that hard, James Harden? Is it really that hard, Luka Doncic? So these are things that should be worked on. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are live at East River 9. Want to do a little throwback Thursday action? We'll do that in just a second. But I did want to read some text that we had from our last segment, because a man bragged about stealing $50,000 from the Mexican cartel, and surprise, they kidnapped him. And he has yet to be seen. A texter pointed out, don't brag about almost being a doctor. Yeah, I suppose saying that you went to medical school or that you went to law school, not really going to work out. I probably shouldn't even brag about having done 5 minutes of a roast and saying that was stand-up comedy. It's the first time I ever did it. I enjoy doing it, but it's not like I've done comedy. No. A guy bragged about sleeping with his wife's twin sister while backstage on Jerry Springer. I would also advise you to not brag about people that you're sleeping with. I don't think that's a good move, especially if it's something that that you think would be in your best interest to keep in the dark. As someone who may or may not have learned from experience, just don't tell anybody about it. There's no reason to tell anybody about it, unless the other person tells, and then you have to tell, because you got to tell your side of the story. You don't want to look like a degenerate or an absolute POS. A text in response to the man stealing $50,000. He died for about a year's worth of wages. Well, you'd be surprised the depths that some people will go to get like a $50,000 score. Like, think about all the people that are using disability. Think about all the people that are trying to get a big lump sum payment for an accident that they've been in. But hey, there are lawyers for that. It's America, the American way. Get you some Jim Adler on your side. Hammer! I want to introduce a segment that we'll put at the back half of segments, but we do like to stick to sports. It's going to be called TBT, Today in History. So here's a couple of interesting stories that took place at this point in history. In 1772, Catherine the Great, the Empress of Russia, ended the tax on men with beards, which was enacted in 1698 in Russia. So you couldn't have a beard in Russia unless you paid a massive tax. I know, think about that. If you're James Harden, what are you supposed to do? You don't want people seeing your teeth. They're not good. No offense to James. You can work on that. Invisalign, I think you can afford it. Just me. Just a thought. Maybe some people are thinking to themselves right now, looks aren't everything. Shut up. Yes, they are. Come on. That's all I have. But she ended a tax on men with beards, which had been started in 1698. So this is like 75 years nearly of a tax on beards. I just can't believe that that happened. How much money did they make off of that tax? Was it worth it? Like, how many people were like, screw it, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And it reminds me of a show on Hulu that I encourage you all to watch if you like history. It's called The Great. It stars, I believe, you know what? I don't know the character. I don't know the actor's name. Sometimes I thought I did. I don't know. It stars people in it. There are humans. It's not an AI chatbot thing. Today, in 1906, the world's first animated cartoon was released. The Humorous Phases of Funny Faces by J. Stuart Blackton. Here are my official power rankings of animated shows. 1, South Park. Still got it. 2, Rick and Morty. 3, Dragon Ball Z. 4, SpongeBob SquarePants. 5, this one's going to be a shocker, Attack on Titan. Great show. You'll note that I did not have The Simpsons there. Nope. I did not have Family Guy there. Family Guy from time to time has its moments. Don't have King of the Hill there. I suppose that makes me a non-Texan. I've actually not watched a lot of King of the Hill. King of the Hill seems a little bit too serious for my taste for a comedy. It's a cartoon. Like, be ridiculous. Be dumb. Maybe that's why I like South Park. That's maybe why I like Rick and Morty. Bob's Burgers, never watched it. You know, I know there's a lot of, like, comedies that have tried to be. Archer's a pretty good one. I will give Archer a little bit of credit. Some people have brought up Beavis and Butthead. Beavis and Butthead is something that was ahead of my time. I know that they have brought it back, and now I'm starting to understand that the concept is these guys just do, like, a dumb thing, and then they watch things that are dumb, and they comment on the things that are dumb. I had never understood that that was the show premise. It's a pretty cool show premise. Ren and Stimpy, another one. That's a good one. Ren and Stimpy, I think, was originally for adults, but there you go. Today in history, in 1917, the United States officially entered World War I. Here's a dark, kind of messed up thought. Have you ever thought about how many more people would exist had that war not started? Because it basically was the entire generation of, like, probably like 17 to 22 year old people, specifically in Europe, but also even in the United States when we got into the war late. So many people got taken out of that war. So many people. It's nuts. And it was the stupidest war ever. It was because everyone, like, got in an alliance with somebody. Who gives a bleep about the Archduke Ferdinand? Ooh, look at me. I'm Franz Ferdinand. I'm driving in a car. Oh, an assassin's in a sandwich shop. Because he messed up the assassination at first. Oh, I'm dead. Thanks, Franz Ferdinand. You got a bunch of people killed. Wear a bulletproof vest. Anyway, that was Throwback Thursday, the new hit segment that's sweeping America. We are live at East River 9. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, Brian T. Smith occasionally delivers a great column. This was not one of them. We'll discuss that next from the Houston Chronicle. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance, because insurance rates are skyrocketing. Thanks, inflation. Everything's more expensive, including your home policy. 30% increases, 40% increases, 50% increases. Goodness gracious me, oh my. Why do so many people make the switch to TGS? Because they make it so fast and easy to save money so that you can buy more eggs. One egg, $30 today. Who would have thought? Their instant quoting system shops the market and delivers you savings in 15 seconds. You can't afford to wait any longer. The time to save is right now. So grab your phone and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system asks you for your address. You send it back, you get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. TGS now has over 2,000 five-star reviews, and their average customer from 2022 is still saving over $800 on their home insurance. Simple, fast, easy, big savings. The TGS insurance way. Let them work for you today. One more time, text money to 232323 to get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from East River 9 for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Paul Gallant.
Oh, boy, guys. The burden of being handsome, of being pretty, it is just something I got to deal with every single day. A text from the 713, and I mean, this man's jealous. Bro, who told you that you look good? Phil Dunphy looking dude. Oh, a guy who's on a television show, ABC, called Modern Family. I look like him. Yeah, that's how it works. That's how it works. I do want to see who said this. I do want to see. Because I would mean girls them. I would. I'm assuming it's somebody who's in here. And if it's the person that I think it was, oh boy. Buddy, you got to work on your fashion, let alone your gut. But that's fine. It's fine. It's fine. You know, we all have things that we're working on every single day. Things that are here to stay. I'm so thrilled about this. Did you see this story from Front Office Sports? You want the pitching clock to go away? Are you one of those old fuddy-duddies? Guys, the pitch clock is never leaving. This is a great day for baseball, a great day for sports, and therefore a great day for the world. Major League Baseball is ready to sell sponsorships for its new pitch clock, which could generate $10 million or more. Hell yes! Let's go! It's never leaving officially now. They're not going to get rid of that revenue stream. Pitch clock sponsorships. We talked yesterday about how the Astros Oxy logo isn't big enough on the jersey. It could be bigger. And now we're going to sell advertising for the pitch clock. This is a great day, guys. I'm really happy about this. Brian T. Smith had an article in the Houston Chronicle. And I like Brian as a person. He's a nice guy. But I do think that a lot of the articles that he writes are just completely over the top. Filled with prose that sometimes needs music in the background. But this is just from the headline on. I don't even know if I even really need to go past the first three paragraphs. Smith, Steven Silas deserves a better fate, but Rockets must move on. Okay, are we really walking on a fence for Steven Silas? The Rockets have been bleeping terrible the last 3 years. But let's read at least the first three paragraphs of this article. In a different world, this works. James Harden doesn't split with Russell Westbrook again, then publicly quit on the Rockets just as a new era is beginning. Steven Silas gets to lead the team. He was hired to coach way back in October 2020, a team filled with veterans battling for the best possible playoff spot in the Western Conference, and his sideline strengths are maximized inside a packed Toyota Center. Do you really think that that was going to work? This was the James Harden, Russell Westbrook era of Rockets basketball, right? Did anyone think that was
capable of working. And I know a lot of dumb Rockets fans did, because you saw Russell Westbrook, then you saw the numbers, and you sort of forgot that during the MVP wars that we had during the late 2010s here in Houston between James Harden, where we were all butthurt about Russell Westbrook getting an MVP and Harden not, the people that actually watched Westbrook play basketball would note that Westbrook actually doesn't play basketball. Westbrook plays NBA 2K My Player. He just gets as many statistics as he possibly can. Nothing wrong with that, but let's acknowledge what it actually was. That MVP was a disgrace, and it enabled bad basketball. His triple-doubles are as hollow as it gets. And they thought that this guy playing with James Harden would work, because they've played together before, not realizing that they've both come to very different points in their careers. Steven Silas was going to make this work. No one was going to make this work, but Steven Silas was? And that's what the premise of the beginning of this article at least suggests, that it was possible. Are you high? This was never going to work. Steven Silas was an underwhelming hire, much like David Culley was an underwhelming hire. And I'm wondering how many people truly wanted to take the Rockets head coaching gig in 2020. Like, I really want to know. Was it that attractive of a job? You knew probably about the power that James Harden held in the organization. Did you really want to go there? So Harden leaves. And Silas obviously coaches a team that doesn't have good players. But again, I'm just going to ask you, why was this going to work? Because this article suggests that Silas didn't get a fair shot. You got 3 years, and you got no progress out of young players. Honestly, you had a really low, low ceiling to meet. You just had to get a little bit of development from these players. And 2 years in a row, the Rockets were incapable of getting that from anybody. Anybody. Until the last, like, 30 games of the year, post-All-Star break, when everyone starts to check out and not care about the regular season because the playoffs are around the corner. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get to garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This is not good for the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas, Athletics. There were 13 AAA baseball games yesterday. Can you guess how many had bigger attendance than the Oakland A's? 11. 11 AAA baseball games had more people in the stands than the Oakland A's did yesterday, a crowd of 3,407. And the sad thing is, you have to wonder when you see attendance records posted if that's actually even how many people went. Because I imagine that you could probably buy an A's ticket for like $10. And there's probably some people that were like, yeah, I don't feel like driving. They might have bought it and they're like, ah, but it's $10. Who cares? You know, this isn't one of those things where you buy the ticket, you need to go there. I'm assuming that they are going off of total tickets sold. I would feel bad for A's fans, but none of them care. I know one A's fan in my life. He is definitely, and I love him, he's definitely the kind of person that you could see, like, bringing an instrument into the game, which I guess like the majority of fans there's like a band that they have, and then the rest of the stadium is seagulls, bad, birds are disgusting, and cats, which are great. So at the very least, it's a nice cat colony at the Coliseum. They better not destroy it because of the cats. I'm excited about this. Sean Mapes and I have a deep appreciation for Al Pacino getting excited. It sounds like there is going to be a Heat prequel made with Adam Driver starring as Robert De Niro's character. Okay, I'm intrigued, but I think you still got to have Robert De Niro, and more importantly, Al Pacino, because Al Pacino in Heat, and apparently the character he was playing was constantly doing cocaine, which is why he was as energetic as he was. That's what Al explained after the fact. But he was delivering zingers like this.
She got a great ass! And you got your head all the way up it.
I think of asses, woman's ass, something comes out of me.
Al Pacino. She's got a great ass, and your head's buried in it. I love it. I love it. And we're at East River 9. Everyone's giving me a look right now. Oh, whatever, guys. It's fine. It's a Thursday. It's Holy Thursday. Tomorrow's Good Friday. A YouTube prankster's attempt to pull a prank off at a Virginia mall literally backfired after he got shot in the stomach. He's okay. It's fine. Tanner Cook. Of course, he's named Tanner. I was playing a prank, a simple practical joke, and this guy didn't take it very well and shot me. Cook runs the YouTube channel Classified Goons, which features him performing jackass-style pranks on unsuspecting people. Some of these harebrained gags have included pretending to urinate in stores and asking strangers to play Naked Twister. He filmed this with friends near a cheesecake factory. Tanner's father clearly thinks that he's going to get the YouTube bag as a prankster, had this to say. They were making a video at the mall and trying to have fun with people. And this guy wasn't having fun. There was a phone that was around him, and they were interviewing or talking to him. And he didn't like it, and he pulled out his gun and shot my son. Look, I'm not saying shoot pranksters. That's bad. But these pranksters aren't good. Here's how I know that. The actual incident wasn't caught on camera. These pranksters suck. If you're going to prank people, you gotta have the camera recording. So I don't believe them. I bet they deleted it. Like, I just don't believe that these guys were trying to pull off a prank that wasn't caught on camera. But footage was filmed by Instagram user showing Coley being arrested, the guy who shot him, and another one of his friends captured footage of the man pulling the gun, which is now being used as evidence. If this guy wants to build his brand, he should have kept this video of him getting shot. Like, this is when the prank goes wrong. Post that on your channel. Guess what? Now everyone has a thought in the back of their mind. Is he going to get shot again this time? He's the prankster that's willing to get shot. But your amateur-ass team couldn't even record it. Sad. One last story. A Serbian woman was left incontinent after putting a cork in her hoo-ha during a sex game and leaving it in there for a shocking 3.5 years. How about that? And that's the way the cookie crumbles. It's going to wrap up the show. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in today. We're going to be live at East River 9 all day long. Our Twitchers, who honestly half-assed it today, but it's fine. Our texters, our tweeters, and of course, Sean Mapes at Mission Control. RJ out here. I am Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful weekend. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
When I think of asses, woman's ass, something comes out of me.